Welcome to the Bible Girl Podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I have a great love for God's Word, journal writing, and gel pens in every color. I combine these loves into one great passion, studying God's Word.
Today, I hope to encourage you and talk to you a little bit about hope and where we find hope. I'm going to be working out of a passage here in the book of Romans, chapter 15. I'm going to read to you verse 4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Paul is talking about how the scriptures were written to give us hope, that we would have hope from the encouragement of the scriptures. And the first thing that I want to point out to you is that when he is referring to scriptures, he's referring to the Old Testament. And I think that's important because so many people that I know, and I've talked to a lot of people, they struggle with the Old Testament. They enjoy the Gospels, hearing of the miracles that Jesus performed and reading of his life here on earth. They like the epistles because it tells them what to do. There's a verse you can pull out, almost any verse out of Ephesians or Philippians, and have a clear direction for what God expects of you. People like the Timothys and Peter, where they talk about persevering through trials and being strong in the faith. These are all very concrete themes and easy to grasp. But when it comes to the stories of Scripture, when we look at the Old Testament, at the history there, the prophets and their wailing and their complaining and their argumentative verses, we tend to lose a little bit of focus as to what the Scriptures are really all about. But Paul is saying that they were written to give us hope, that we would endure the Christian life and the difficulties of our world with this encouragement from the Scriptures. So how do we get hope from the Old Testament? Well, we get hope in the epic stories of the Old Testament that can be not only encouraging but inspiring. In Genesis, we see Abraham's covenant where God comes down and commits to building a great nation through him. And yet, shortly after that, we see Abraham decide to take matters into his own hands and use Sarah's cooked-up scheme to get a descendant without waiting on God. And we are encouraged by realizing that God uses sinful, flawed people. Because God did not break that covenant, he continued to honor it and bless it, even though Abraham and Sarah clearly did not understand what God was trying to accomplish at first, and tried to accomplish it in their own means. Throughout the books of Exodus through Deuteronomy, we see God blessing, continually providing, caring, and nurturing a nation of rebellious people who refused to do things his way, who couldn't suffer through a moment of unease or discomfort, people who saw great miracles and yet refused to trust, and yet God blessed them. God caused them to grow. When we get into the book of Joshua, he gives them victory. He gives them a land to call their own, even though they don't follow his command and get rid of all the people in the land the way they're supposed to. They still reap the blessings and the benefits of being God's chosen people. We see in Judges God providing rescue over and over and over again when nobody could remember to serve God. They cried out to God, he'd rescue them, he'd send a judge, and then they would go off and do their own thing again, forgetting about God entirely. And yet the next time he called, they called, he was there. In Kings, Samuel, the Chronicles, we see the history of good kings, bad kings, and really bad kings. I recently heard of a pastor who preached a sermon series on the books of history in the Old Testament and called it The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and I think he was onto something there. We see a total lack of obedience on the people's part in these stories. Every once in a while, a good king would come up and the people would return to God, but it didn't last long before they strayed and went back to their own plans and their own desires. And yet, God stays faithful. In the book of Esther, we see God maneuvering behind the scenes to protect his people and to preserve the race of the chosen, of Abraham's generations. It's a chess game almost. God planning a great rescue of his people by maneuvering people into positions and raising up people in power and taking those who thought they had everything and showing them that he was God and they had nothing. In the prophets, we see the true heart of God, romancing his people, wooing them back to his arms, and doing whatever it takes, even losing them for a season, to ensure that they return and desire to come back to him. Nowhere else in the Bible do we see the heart of God in the words these prophets say. Over and over, God, the broken heart of God over his people's abandoning him is seen clearly and with great emotion. But it's not just in these big moments that we receive encouragement. It's in the small moments of real people. Jacob wrestling with God in the dead of the night shows that God can handle our doubts and he can handle our confusion. And we can go to him and wrestle these things out and he will be faithful. And in the morning, when Jacob refused to let the angel go until he was blessed, he received his blessing. And we can do the same. Hold on to God and wrestle with him in the midst of our confusions and our sorrows. In Ruth, trusting God for provision in a situation where she had nothing other than her mother-in-law in a strange culture and no one to take care of her in a very patriarchal society, we see that God notices the lonely, cares for the widows, and provides for our needs. In the beautiful story of how Ruth is rescued and how Ruth is cared for and provided for, we see the heart of God that nourishes his people and watches over them. In Moses' story, we see that God answers prayer and will give us the answers to the questions that we seek. Moses was a man who did not feel equipped to serve the way he did. He was called to such a huge role and he felt completely inadequate for it. And we see that even though he accepted that role, his feelings of inadequacy did not go away. He continued to seek God in prayer and to ask him for his help, sometimes complaining, sometimes groaning, sometimes with a humble heart, just needing rescue, needing wisdom, needing discernment, needing direction. And God answered. God gave him the answers he needed. And we see from Moses' story that when God calls us to do something that we feel is beyond us, that God will be faithful to do it. And he will lead us to the wisdom, to the people, to the knowledge, to the experience, to the help that we need to get it done. As we read the story of Joseph suffering greatly, being sold into prison by his brothers, by being wrongfully accused, and all of the different things that he experienced, being forgotten in an Egyptian prison for years, we see that Joseph's suffering had purpose. And we get comfort and encouragement because ours has a purpose too. Ours may not be used to save a great nation, but it can be used to share the glory of Christ. It does get used to help us grow, to help us share, help us to help others. We are given those sorrowful times as a gift to refine us and also to restore us. And Joseph's story reminds us that our suffering is never wasted. We see David with a sling. We realize that small people with very limited resources can do mighty things if God is behind it. When we see Nehemiah with a cause, we realize that someone whose heart is broken, who wants change, can achieve it because the power of God is within him and the Holy Spirit can be his guide and his director. Just like Nehemiah was able to rally the people, was able to secure resources and make decisions and get that wall built in 52 days, we know that God can work mighty things when our hearts break over the things that break his heart. We see Gideon, full of uncertainty, scared to go again into battle, worried about how the Philistines will handle this small army. And God performs miraculously through Gideon's willingness. We see a man who's fearful, who's unsure of himself, of his army, of his abilities, maybe even a little bit unsure of God and how God's going to come through. But he steps out anyway, and God rewards his faithfulness with victory. And we are encouraged because we know that we can still serve even with uncertainty. We don't have to have all of our doubts and questions answered to see God move. In the heartbreak and the triumph, in the unimagined success and the staggering failure, we see obedience, loyalty, initiative, and victory right alongside rebellion, faithfulness, faithlessness, passiveness, defeat. In all of this, God is moving, wielding his power and his love in equal measure, bestowing grace, love, and kindness, then as he does now. There's encouragement in these words. There is hope in these words. The scriptures are meant for our encouragement. And if we read them, if we study them, if we take them to heart, we will find it there. As Psalm 102:18 says, "Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord."
Thanks for joining me today. If you have questions or comments, you can email me at BibleGirlPodcast@gmail.com. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Goodreads, and Pinterest under the username Jessie L. Robinson. And that's Jessie with an I, J-E-S-S-I-L Robinson. You can get articles, show notes, links to things referred to on the podcast, and more on my Tumblr blog, which is BibleGirlPodcast.tumblr.com. Links to all my social media and blog sites are on the podcast page at BibleGirl.podbean.com.